Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Tuesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner. Got a full show for everyone tonight. We're going to start out with the gentleman that everyone needs to look out for. He's a super heavyweight out of Jake Smith's gym down in Baltimore. And then we're going to be talking with the legendary trainer, Mr. Barry Hunter. Also, out of the Detroit area, we're going to talk a little bit about Clarissa Smith and upcoming events up there in Michigan with Mr. Steve Zepke. And we'll close out the show with HBO commentator, Mr. Kevin Kelly. But right now, let's introduce my co-host, Mr. Jabron Clement. Jabron, what's going on tonight, my man?
Nothing much, man. I'm out here in this sticky weather, man. It's just rainy and cold. It's looking at my, 58 degrees out here. Nice and cold and rainy. And
well,
windy.
Well, first of all, I know it might be a little inconvenient to you, but remember that a lot of our boxers are in the state of Texas. Ronnie Shields changed his fighters out of Houston. You also have the Chalo brothers and a lot of fighters that we have interviewed from down around the river area. So, first of all, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the victims of Hurricane Harvey, and we'll start out the show on that somber note. Jabron, I know usually we don't start out the show with amateurs, but I want to make an exception tonight because we have a gentleman here tonight that Mr. Joe Smith recommended, and he's a super heavyweight, haven't had, I believe, 20 fights, I think he said 18, and he's looking to turn pro very soon. Bam Bam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you first introduce yourself to our audience?
My name is Brian Hinschlager at Baltimore. How's everybody doing this evening?
We are doing fine. We're doing fine, my man. I know, we said that you are at Jake Smith's gym, and Jake always has provided a lot of guidance as well as just wholesome activity within the neighborhood. How did you become associated with Mr. Jake Smith?
Oh, about 7 or 8 years ago, I found Baltimore Boxing online and came down to Jake's gym. And me and Jake actually became best friends, and he became quite the role model in my life. He's got me off the street and has got my life turned around, heading in the right direction. So Jake keeps a close eye on me. I think the world of the man.
Was there any particular reason that you chose Jake as a mentor, or, was it, kind of like once you guys met, he knew that you and him were on the same plane?
Well, a couple guys that I worked with had recommended me to go down at a local 46 Plumbers and Steam Fitters in Baltimore. And a few guys that were out of the union, one being Jed Phipps, and a couple other guys I knew had pushed me in the direction of Jake. And I'm certainly glad that they did. So.
Now, super heavyweight, what is your weight right now and how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot exactly and fluctuate between 215 and 220.
Okay, now, you would fit in the pros would be a smaller heavyweight. You see some of these big guys out there now, 240, 260, and you would be more along the lines of some of our smaller guys. Mike Tyson comes to mind. But did you find when you started in the amateurs, did anyone take into consideration your height, or was your heart more of your introduction to boxing?
No, sir, I don't believe that played a factor in it at all. Just the interest in boxing and Jake actually kept pushing me forward to stay with it. So.
Now, have you been in any of Jake's tournaments?
Just about all of his amateurs and a couple of his pro-ams in the past year, actually five of his pro-ams in the past year, and a good portion of his amateur fights over the past 8 years.
Okay, now, when you first started, were you boxing with or without headgear?
I'm sorry, sir. Could you repeat the question?
When you first started boxing amateurs with Jake, was it before the headgear rule or after?
It was after the headgear rule.
Okay, so your introduction to boxing, well, after you had 10 fights, and I'm assuming now you're boxing without headgear, am I correct?
No, sir, that's not correct. I still have been using headgear even in the pro-am.
Oh, okay. I thought they had changed the rules, so... are you planning? When are you starting? Since you are going to start pro, when are you going to not use headgear, or are you choosing to use headgear throughout your amateur career?
Honestly, makes no difference to me. It's whatever I guess the other fighter and whatever the referees and Jake, have me do going into the ring. I just listen and go along with it. So,
what is your reach, and how do you describe your style?
Probably extremely heavy hitter, and my reach is about probably say 31 inches. So we're in a ballpark.
So you also find yourself. Usually at a disadvantage in reach. So, what is your style? Are you one of the guys that respecting your size and reach? Are you more of a brawler? Get in, put your head in the chest type, or
definitely more of a brawler and have been. And actually, over the past probably 6 or 8 months, Jake and the trainer in the gym really worked with me changing that, which is, brought forth the Ready for Pro as far as that goes. So I've come a long way in the past 6 or 8 months.
Now, when you change your style, knowing, that as a brawler, you generate power one way, but either way, your footwork comes into play. Have you found changing your footwork to be difficult, or have you, you know, managed to adjust to it very quickly?
I can't say I've adjusted quickly. It's definitely come with time, but it's definitely tight. I've tightened my stance up and gotten on my toes and twisting with all my punches and moving a decent amount quicker than what I used to, that's for sure. So,
when you decided, or Jake decided, however your team decided, that you were going to turn pro, tell me a little bit about that conversation, and what exactly made you decide, you know, that at this moment you were ready to turn.
Well, it was probably a number of different times in the gym, and just people complimenting the improvement they've seen, me actually gaining confidence as far as sparring goes in the gym on a regular basis, and then Jake coming to me asking me if I wanted to go that far, and I told him, yeah, that I was ready to do that. So,
okay, now, we also know, you know, that there are a lot of boxers, especially when you're first trying to get, you know, turn pro or get in the business, that, you know, they have jobs. I mean, you know, even former light heavyweight champion Joe Smith Jr., I mean, you know, he had a job working construction, and you mentioned that you were working. So how hard is it, you know, to have a schedule where you have to work, then come and train, and make quality time? I mean, you know, how big a transition is this for a young man?
I can tell you that's a good question. You know, I work every day of the week, 8, sometimes 9 hours a day, and then go into the gym and usually train for 2 hours in Jake's gym, and sometimes probably every other day, maybe 3 days a week, come up to the YMCA and do lightweights and stuff like that. So quality time during the week is few and far. On the weekends, I make quality time for my son. And now I've recently just started dating somebody, which is tough because there's not much quality time, that's for sure. And, you know, during the week, it's train, work, and sleep. And that's all you know. So definitely dedication.
Most definitely, as you're talking about turning pro, you know, that 2 hours will likely turn into 4 hours, you know. So that's very a hard thing to hold. Now, you mentioned your son. Is that one of your motivations to turn pro, rather than, you know, like see him grow up and, you know, have a harder life like you? Working,
he's definitely a motivation in my life towards everything I do. So, without a doubt, I can say yes to that question.
Jabron, I do have a co-host, Mr. Jabron Clement. Jabron, do you have something that you would like to ask our amateur fighter? I believe it's Brian Bam Bam.
Brian Bam Bam, how you doing tonight, Brian Bam Bam? What a name.
I'm good.
How did you come up with that name? Was you given that name, or that was something you had from your childhood?
That was definitely given to me by Jake, one of my first months in the gym, and it just stuck.
Now, was boxing always like a pedigree, like in your blood, like growing up as a kid? Is it something that you followed or had a desire for, or was it just something like your athletic ability, you know, just leaned towards it?
I can say, like, I always was a huge Rocky Marciano fan. Growing up, my grandfather got me turned on to him, and that kind of was my motivation. I got into boxing a little bit later, but I was a big sports advocate, wrestling and football, at younger, but I didn't really get into boxing until later 20s.
Now, by you being into those other sports, do you feel like, especially like football, like that mentality, does that help you in the ring?
I think, you know, with the conditioning and parts of that aspect definitely helps me. I think some of the size and stuff definitely slowed me down in the beginning, which is starting to lean up a little bit. But, I mean, I guess it was definitely a benefit, I mean, to say, as far as being able to take hits. But with some of the size that I had left over from it, it was probably more than like it definitely slowed me down. So
now, being a father and now you're trying to make a statement in the professional rankings, becoming a professional fighter. Now, with that extra responsibility, how does that affect you, like, personally? Like, because being a heavyweight and you know, you can't be a softy, man. Like, it's a dangerous thing. Like, with heavyweights, one punch, you're done. So with that being said,
right,
like, when you're on your personal time and you're, you know, you're with your son and family and stuff, like, your competitiveness, how are you able to, like, channel that, like, the channel it down to be able to relax and enjoy things?
Well, I can tell you that just comes natural and easily, you know. I guess maybe being, you know, between work and training, when I'm with my son, I'm generally relaxed and just enjoying the time that I'm spending with him. So that's not really a problem to have to tone anything down. I just look forward to every minute that I get to spend with him right now. So I'm divorced, and I get to see him every other weekend, so every minute I get to see him counts.
Can you just let our listeners know a little bit about your training regimen and far as like your probably like your nutrition and different things of that sort? Is that something that you really try to focus on, or due to that you have so much going on, being a father, being a hardworking man, and plus trying to be an athlete, it's kind of tough to balance that?
You know, balance is always a tough thing. I definitely focus on all of it. You know, nutrition being protein, I try and eat 1 gram of protein for every pound that you weigh. There's certain things, try and eliminate sugar almost altogether, you know, virtually. Sometimes that's impossible, but I focus on that. And, you know, try and eat high protein, obviously, and carbs when needed, but not as often as probably I should. And training, you know, I just feel guilty when I don't go in the gym after work, and, you know, it keeps my head, that's my therapy, so I look forward to doing that after work. It just comes second nature now. So you're getting in the gym, you know, 5 days a week, and the boxing gym is every single week.
Well, by you being from the Maryland area, I'll say in the last 5 to 8 years, boxing has really grown and is really buzzing. Do you have a farewell following, a nice following in the, your area?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, so it must be great to have a lot of great champions from the area to help build a fan base, such as the Lamont Petersons and the Tank Davises and other fighters of that sort. And do you have any connection with any of those fighters?
No, sir. The fighters out of our gym, Jed Phipps, is one of the pros. Obviously, I don't know if you guys heard of Mike Dietrich. When I first came into the gym, he kind of had me under his wing, and that's kind of my role model out of our gym. Mike has passed away. And they're two obviously some of the lighter weight guys too, but they're two of the bigger guys that were in my weight class that played a big impact on my boxing career. So.
And now that the heavyweight division is starting to really heat up, and you know, since you're a big hitter, and how would you feel if you got the call for someone to bring you into camp, such as the Joshuas, the Deontay Wilders, you know, of that caliber?
Oh, I take any opportunity that was offered to me, you know. Under my circumstances, if I was able to go, I would take up any opportunity that was offered to train harder.
Great. Well, I appreciate having you on the show, and I'm going to throw it back to my host, JK, but I can't wait for you to make your debut and so we can get some footage on you and spread the word, because it's always great to have another heavyweight to make a statement, especially being from America, since, you know, it seems like overseas is trying to take over boxing, but hopefully guys like you can put an end to that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Bam Bam, hey, man, it's good talking to you. We hope to talk to you as soon as Jake finds out who your opponent's going to be, and we look forward to having you make that pro debut, my man.
Yes, sir, me too. Thank you very much. You have a great evening.
You too. Well, that was the young man out of Baltimore, a young super heavyweight. I was looking forward to having him get in the ring and make that first debut. But we do have a great friend of the show, and I am going to take a few minutes, longer minutes here to bring him in, because we always enjoy talking to him. And that's the elite trainer, Mr. Barry Hunter. Barry, how are you doing tonight, my man?
Man, I'm fine. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me back. I appreciate you guys.
Man, you don't know how much we appreciate you. One of the reasons why I brought you back so soon, my co-host had some complaints about fighting fights down there in the area and why they aren't taking place and exactly what's going on down there in the area. So I'm going to start out kicking it to my co-host, Barry, and then we're going to talk a little bit about things that happened this weekend.
Well, no problem.
Brian?
Yeah, how you doing tonight, Mr. Hunter?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, a lot of things have been heating up, you know, discussions about the division and the champions and different things of that sort. And I just feel like, you know, Lamont ain't getting his just due. I feel like his name should be out there and should be pushed more. And, you know, I'm just not only a person that loved the sport of boxing, but, you know, I just love Lamont as a person. You know, I don't know him personally, but just how he conducted himself, you know, I just feel like he should get his just due. And so I just, you know, want to update on where he's at and when we can possibly see him again.
Well, man, I appreciate that. I'm quite sure Lamont does too. You know, it's a funny world we live in these days. You know, when you have people like Lamont, and you have people like Andre Ward and Terrence Crawford, you know, people that are, you know, not loud in their business. They don't talk a whole bunch, but when they get in that ring, they handle their business. People like that, you know, from my view, tend to get looked over a lot of times, and then the spotlight is on the ones that will go out there and do something reckless a lot of times. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in if you stay on that path and you stay on that grind and do the right thing, you'll get what's due to you regardless. So, Amon is fine, doing good, in the gym, he's looking great. There are some negotiations going on right now for Lamont to be back in the ring around October, November. I say middle to end of October to mid-November. A few names have been given to us, you know, and we just sitting on the sidelines just waiting to get in the game. We ready. And, you know, we always stay ready. You know, one thing about them boys there, you know, you don't have to look for them. They're always in the gym. So when we get that call, we'll be ready to rock.
Yeah, there's a couple of names that, you know, me personally, I would like to see him in there with. Definitely the rematch with Danny, I would love to see that. But any of the other champions also, I would love to see him in the ring with. But I would love to see him in some money fights. Like, I want this man to get paid, to be honest with you. So even if you could get a rematch with Amir Khan, yo, cut the check, because they gonna really see
what
the deal is now. Because now he's not at 140; he's at 47. He's feeling comfortable, and I think that you know they don't want to see that again.
Listen, I would love, you know, we never discriminate, and you know, you look at Lamont's resume. And the amateurs as well as the pros, and my sport, the who's who in boxing, I mean, from the beginning. I remember years ago when we were first starting out, actually, and he was about 10 years old, I used to take him to the fights in the local area. I took him to around 9 fights before he got one. And that 9th fight, he stood there, you know, because it was a threat of him not fighting, so he started crying. I thought he was crying because somebody said something to him, and I asked him, what's wrong? And he said, they won't let me fight. He said, every time I come to the fight, I can't fight. They won't let me fight. And so he ended up fighting somebody that was about 10 pounds bigger than him, and he won. That's the type of guy this is. Lamont, the only time I ever see him, you know, down for the most part is when he's not in the ring, can't fight, or something is wrong with one of his kids. That's it, and that's all. Myself personally, we had got a call from Cotto. Of course, we agreed for whatever reason. Kell Brook, got a call for Kell. We agreed. That fight fell through, along with a few other names. So, you know, any name that they shot at us, we always agree. I definitely would love to see him against Cotto. I would love to see him fight Pacquiao. I wanted Floyd. That would have been a great fight. We can revisit Timothy Bradley, Amir Khan, any of them. Lucas Matisse, any of them. Nothing personal. It's the business.
Most definitely. JK?
Very nice. You know, you mentioned Bradley. You know, Bradley has said that he's retiring now. You also mentioned Pacquiao. But let's start with Timothy. What did you think about Timothy's retirement? It is one less big name in the division, but what did you think about his retirement and, Timothy certainly paid his dues?
So, you know, first of all, you know, if that is Tim's choice, then, you know, of course, I congratulate Tim on just a stellar career. Man was a warrior. I've known Timmy since he was a young kid. He was a silver glove. I watched him come up on the short end of the stick several times in the amateurs, and you know, and people passed him by over and over. But a lot of people that passed him by were the same people on the sideline watching him fight for world titles and millions of dollars. So I think Timmy did an excellent job. I thought his team did an excellent job of handling him and moving him. And I just congratulate him. You know, if he chooses to go out, and especially if the passion is not there no more, or you're hesitating, you know, to really want to go to the gym and get up for it anymore, it's time to give it up. And I wish him well. Love the man, him and his family. And next stop, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I love his commentary style. I'm glad to see that he is getting some airtime, and it's good to see you know some brothers getting some you know some of the love too. And then you also mentioned Manny. Now you know Manny's more than likely I don't know if it's signed and sealed, but more than likely he's going to fight Jeff Horn again. And then probably one fight before he retires also. I know everyone has a lot of respect for Manny, and after the way that he lost this Jeff Horn fight, there's been a lot of speculation and whatnot. Do you think Manny has lost a step? You know, I mean, just like Floyd, you know, has admitted that you know, hey, I'm older, I've lost a step. You think that's the case with Manny? And now, you know, they're just looking for a couple mega fights before he leaves too?
I think some of them may want to take the easier route out. You know, I don't think that it is a – put it this way, they pay their dues. And when you're looking at the landscape and you look at the fighters that they have out there now in those weight divisions, when you look at Lamont, when you look at Terrence supposed to move up to 47, or if you look at Earl Spence and some of these other younger guys, Danny Garcia, you know, Keith Thurman, even Amir Khan, Lucas, you know, it's rougher. It'll be a very, very rough thing to deal with that type of firepower at that age. And again, I say I don't have a problem with them. I won't say going out safe, but you know, getting that fight that they can take the fight, survive the fight, and go on and enjoy, you know, the fruits of their labor. But I definitely think Manny have a little bit more in the tank than some of the other ones is going out. And I would love, you know, for, you know, to see Lamont against any of those guys that I named. And the funny part about that is when Lamont was younger and coming up the ranks, and when after he fought Amir Khan, him and Marquez were supposed to do it. And you know, of course, Bob mentioned Lamont's name, you know, face Manny in the earlier days. For whatever reason, like I said, it fell through. And I understand. In a lot of cases, you know, when you look at Lamont, Lamont is a very, very rough type of guy. He's very rough. He's a very rough fighter. And so, therefore, a lot of times people, you know, don't want that type of contact. But any of them, again, I say it's nothing personal. It's just like the NBA. Them guys play against each other all the time in the playoffs, and at the end of the game, they hanging out, having a good time together, and that's how we look at it. It's our business. It's what we do.
Now, you mentioned another name there that I think would certainly be intriguing. That's Terrence Crawford moving up to 147. I'm not sure if he would want to take on a junkyard dog Lamont on his premier fight, you know, on his introduction to 147, but would you entertain something like that? I mean, how many fights do you think he needs before he comes accustomed to 147?
Terrence is a dog type of fighter. You know, I'm a big fan. I like him a lot. And I think he is that type of fighter. He reminds me somewhat of a Lamont Peterson. You know, the way he approaches fights. He don't do a whole lot of talking, but when that bell rings, he go out there and handle his business. You know, and to be honest with you, Terrence wasn't one of those guys that they actually were seen to be the type of fighter that he is at this level. And just like Lamont, I think he is somewhat underappreciated. But nevertheless, I think he would, you know, accept a challenge like that, and I think it would be, you know, a terrific fight. I think he has done enough work at the other levels, I mean, at the other weights, shall I say, to get up there and fight any of those guys. I definitely don't think that in his mind that he would trip off of it. And we most certainly wouldn't do it, you know. I don't care who it is. Whichever one of them it is, we'll be ready.
Now, we talked a lot about Lamont, but he also has a brother that manage now. Is the younger Lamont getting ready to fight? I mean, is he getting ready to fight soon?
Yeah.
If he was supposed to have fought him and Mickey Bay, but I understand that was an injury. So that fight was called off. It was supposed to have happened on the 22nd of this month. But, yeah, of course, just like Lamont, if you see his brother, is constantly in the gym, constantly in shape, always ready to go. Within maybe 2 or 3 weeks to a month notice. So, yes, he is on the track for a fight. And I failed to mention also, we were talking about Lamont moving up to 47, and his brother's at 135. His brother could easily go up, you know, it's not the title at 40, as a month go to 54 and take one.
You're talking about, you know, some great foes there. We saw Gervonta Davis lose his title, his 130-pound title on the scale. I know, you know, it happens sometimes. But, Barry, I mean, you know, this is something that we haven't seen from any of your guys, and I'm not, you know, trying to point the fingers or anything like that, but when your fighter loses his title on the scale, I mean, what does that do to you as a trainer? I mean, does that make you think that, you know, possibly you didn't watch him long enough or exactly, I mean, you know, this has to affect more than the fighter. What does it do to the trainer?
Well, I can pretty much only speak for myself. Of course, Gervonta, you know, we consider him to be one of ours also. The last three fights, that, you know, we didn't work with him. He got into the gym. He'd stop pass, he'd hang out, you know, he'd come up, shake out sometimes. But myself and, of course, Boogie Patrice Harris, we didn't have nothing to do with these last fights with him. He's always welcome there. He know, you know, in the gym, you know, as far as training is concerned, even the fight, the preparation leading up to the fight, we are highly disciplined in what we do. So, you know, I don't have no understanding when you hit the scale and you don't make your weight. That's a problem. That's a huge problem with me. We got a small window in this game, and when that window is cracked open, you got to get through there. You got to get through there with everything it takes and with everything you have to get through it because it'll close quickly. You know, and every time, a lot of times, put it this way, a lot of times when we think we're in control, we're way out of control. I don't know what the situation is or was. I can't really speak to it because I wasn't there, a part of it. I just hope that Tank, which we call him, to stay, you know, on that path, keep his eyes on the prize because he's just like Adrian, just a special talent. But you don't want to be just that talent and not put that talent to use. So, I swear to you, after you walk away from the game, it's going to hurt so bad if you don't give it everything you have. I think that, you know, that hopefully that was just a little fork in the road and, you know, he learned from it. You know, I hadn't spoken to him. You know, I actually had one of the guys call him yesterday and tell him I wanted to speak to him. But I haven't heard from him since, you know, and when I do talk to him, you know, I'm going to try to drum that home. Because that's my guy. You know, I love him to death. You know, he's one of mine. He's one of the kids in the gym. And, you know, I know Calvin raised him down in Baltimore. And, you know, Calvin's always been like a surrogate father to him. So, you know, I just hope that, you know, they stay on that grind, stay on that path. And, you know, and he get everything that, you know, he deserves. Because he worked extremely hard to get there. You know, getting there is one of the things, you know. It's about maintaining once you get there.
No doubt. We saw another champion, Clown, that same night, making his debut in the light heavyweight class, and Badu Jack. What did you think about Badu's performance as he made his debut into the upper echelon of the light heavyweights?
I didn't see Badu's fight. You know, Badu has been in our gym before, also when he fought that NBC, trained there. And good guy. I like him as a person. He had a good spirit about him. And I was happy to have heard that he won the fight the other day. And, you know, some people thought he was impressed with him doing so. I watched him evolve a little bit. You know, when I first saw him, you know, he was just a guy. But honestly, last season, you know, I've seen big improvements there. Congratulations to him, and, you know, and I wish him well, you know, and I hope he continues on, you know, being excellent in the game.
You know, it seems we're having a lot of activity in that light heavyweight class. How do you see that shaping up? I mean, you know, we got all some heavy hitters there from far, like Andre. I mean, you know, what do you think, man? That class seems to be getting very competitive.
And you know how boxing is. You know, it'll be at its highest high, and you know, sometimes be at its lowest low. And I think it's just evolving again. Once again, and that's good to see, because you know, I do remember when you had Kwawi and you had Eddie Mustafa. You know, and some of the legendary light heavyweight fighters, and you know, I can see that coming around again. Of course, Andre, that's always our guy. You know, man got an iron will, and he always found a way to pull his fights out. So, I think boxing, you know, in almost every division, is alive and well, and you know, I think he's going to still be serving as a sport.
Now let's talk about the big one. We have a 40 plus year old Floyd essentially having his way with the 29 year old fighter that was at least 20 pounds heavier. But there's a lot of criticism. Either. You know, Floyd didn't take him out quick enough, or you know, they make a big deal about it was 112 punches that he landed and whatnot. First of all, Barry, what did you think about the fight in general?
You know, I'm a boxing guy. You know. I'm not with the mixture of the sport, you know, to each his own, you know, though, you know, had some people that liked what they saw, and then you had, you know, people like me that feel those fighters should be fighting, and MMA guys should be the MMA guys. You know, going into that fight, my whole thought on that, you know, I looked at it, you know, as a business move for both guys. You know, and I had no problem with them, you know, handling their business, you know, more power to them on that end, but as a boxing fan, just an appreciator of the sport of boxing. I love boxing. Spent my whole life around the sport. I'm boxer, state boxing, MMA guy, state MMA guy. And, you know, because to, you know, a novice fan that comes in to see this, they think that this is boxing. You know, and meanwhile, number one, number two, you got people that actually earn the right to fight on that stage. that has been fighting, undefeated the whole night in this particular sport, and they don't get a shot like that. You know, so, you know, those are the issues that I had. As far as the fight itself was concerned, you know, it went like I thought it would go. Actually, I thought, you know, I don't know if Floyd carried it down or what. Yeah, I thought he would have knocked him out earlier, number one. You talking about a man that's never fought in a boxing match on that stage before. That I think the match that they go, you know, in a match is, I think, what, it's five rounds?
Five rounds, five minutes.
But then you turn around and box them up to 12 rounds, 3 minutes around against, you know, who a lot of people would say is the best fighter on the planet. That's crazy. That's like me hitting the lottery, the Powerball, two times in a week and throw a Mega Million on top of that. That's what I thought his chances were.
Yeah, you know, that you mentioned everything that I was thinking. I've actually heard some of the sportscasters and the so-called experts actually propose that something like this goes on maybe once a year or so. Do you think that has this something like this has this hurt boxing, or do you think you know this is just a one-time novelty that the fans will accept?
Well, I'm hoping that is a one-time novelty because, like I said, you know, you think about you know the names of the fighters that we had named before we got into the conversation about this particular fight. You know, you got guys right now at home sitting on the sideline trying to get in this game, earn the right to be in the game, earn the right to be a starter in this game, and they can't get it. But because, like you said, it was more like a novelty act, you know, this man get a shot, jump over people that have been in the sport forever, earn the right, pay their dues, and they can't get a shot like that. So
yeah,
that was my greatest issue, you know, with the whole, you know, scenario. Now, when you look at Floyd paid to do. I mean, Floyd did fight Diego. He did fight the big fight, Cotto, the Pacquiao, you know, Canelo Alvarez. I mean, you name it, he fought it, you know, in this era. So, you know, you kind of sort of got to give him a pass because he paid his dues. And, you know, and again, if that was his last fight, because he's done so much, I wish him well. You know, safe passage, and enjoy. You know, every fruit of your labor, and of course, get ready for your Hall of Fame. So, but as far as mixing the sport, no, I'm not down for that. You know, I don't want to see Ray Lewis, you know, in a swimming match against the greatest swimmer in the world.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but Andre Berto has actually expressed he says he wants to be the first boxer to become a UFC champion.
I know a little bit about, you know, of course, Berto one of our kids, too, from back in the day. Yeah, Berto's whole family almost is into some sort of combat sport. Yeah, the brother and his daddy, they were UFC fighters, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Berto
definitely
was a combat sport guy, along with his brother. You know, and I believe his sisters too. But nevertheless, you know, I can see that because he understand, he know about MMA. So that wouldn't be a surprise to me.
Okay, all right. I think also, Barry, and, you know, we talk about this being a business, but I don't see how you could have another fight that would generate that kind of money. And I think that's kind of the fallacy of the whole operation, because a guy would be expecting, you know, the next guy would be expecting to try to make Floyd money. And Floyd demands that type of money, of course, because he's his own man. But is there another Mega Million fight that you think could happen?
In time. I think that, you know, you'll have that particular matchup, you know, that people, you know, would demand and would want to see. And I don't think it would take a mixture of the two sports. I think, you know, you could, you know, get big enough names in boxing if nurtured the right way. Same thing like UFC. Another name, you know, to match this other name that's going on. It's always been like that. You know, you'll have that window where you don't have the Ali name, or you don't have the Michael Jordan name, you know, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, as far as basketball concerned, boom, a LeBron James show up or a Kobe Bryant show up. And next thing you know, you back where where you were in the first place. And I just think it's going to take a little time. I definitely think, you know, the future's bright enough, and you got some young kids actually coming out of, like, the juniors and the amateur program that could definitely get it done. So, you know, it may take a little time, but I'm almost positive that it's going to happen.
I'm glad you mentioned the amateur program, because I know that's part of your heart, that's part of your roots, something that you very strongly believe in. What is the state of the amateur program in the D.C. area?
Oh, it's definitely bright. Actually, I was just in a meeting today. We have a kid that just won the J.O. National Tournament. He's on the cadet squad now. He fights in December. And another national tournament that determines who goes to the international competition. And we had him since he was a pup. He is now, I'm 6'2", so he's just right there next to me, or a little bit taller than me. He just turned 17 years old, so we're very, very good, very high on him. Alongside of him, you have another young kid that's coming out. He'll be turning professional pretty soon. His name is Keyshawn Williams. You guys really, really will like him when you see him. He's kind of my young fighter. And so the future's bright. Then when you turn around and you look at some of the other ones that just came out, pretty much just came out of amateurs about a year or two, removed from the amateurs. Lamont has a nephew that's undefeated, which is Patrick Harris. Just fought the other day. He got his 12th win, and he won that fight with a torn ligament in his right wrist. So the future is very, very bright. I'm looking forward to it, and anything I can do to help these kids out, I'm definitely down for.
Most definitely. Jabron, I've monopolized the conversation here. You have some parting thoughts before we let Barry go?
I'm just loving all the insight that he's filling us up with, man, and I always enjoy him on the show. I'm good to go.
Okay. Barry, as always, man, it's a pleasure, you know, to talk to you. I know you also have a lot of friends down there in the Houston area, you know, thinking of Ronnie Shields and you know, the Charlo guys and some of them. Have you heard from any of the guys down in that area since the hurricane?
I haven't. You know, it's funny you said that. You know, I'm sitting here as we're speaking, watching CNN. You know, that's one of my favorite channels. At least
fake news.
On the fake news channel. You know, according to what they say, number 45. But I'm on this channel and constantly, and you know, it's a heartbreaking thing to see. You know, and it just really, really lets you know that, you know, one day to another, you know, you can be riding so high one day, and then, I mean, within minutes, seconds, or hours, your whole life is turned upside down, changed, and, you know, and going in a negative way. They just found a family of six was all lost in a van. And, you know, I'm listening to their relatives speak about it, man, and it's terrible. And so I told my wife yesterday, I said, man, I don't know what, but we got to do something. So I said, you know, contact CNN or go online and see, you know, who we can make a donation to, you know, what can we do? Because you're right, we do have friends down there. You know, Steve Francis, you know, I call him my nephew. And normally he call him, we talk a smack, or he's coming up to the gym, you know, hang out a little bit. Steve has a house down there. I know Jay Prince, you know, is a Houston guy, you know, and these are people that we know, you know, these are people that we love. Ronnie Shields, like you mentioned, that's my guy. So, and then we have some relatives in the area also. And we're reaching out, you know, to see, you know, what it is that we can do, you know, because, you know, it's hard to sit around and live your life knowing there's so many people, man, out there suffering. I'm watching this thing on TV. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out, and you know, we all do what we can. I'm sure, you know, online or CNN, MSNBC, will have places where you can donate, and you know that your money's or whatever donation is going to a good cause and not going to be ripped off by some type of private organization that is trying to make a buck.
Yeah, you definitely, I'm glad you brought that point up. You definitely have to be cautious because, unfortunately, you're going to have people out there that try to capitalize on someone else's misery. Go through the private channels. Go through the legitimate channels and, you know, pretty much, like you said, you know, go through places like CNN, the Red Cross, you know, what have you, you know, and get it done that way. And again, you know, my prayers and my thoughts and, you know, all my hopes, you know, going out, you know, for these people. And I wish every last one of them well. And may God himself, you know, heal them and stop their suffering and pain. Because, you know, I can only imagine, you know, what it would be like to watch a loved one die, something like that. They're completely healthy. But because of, you know, circumstances that are out of your control, you know, they, you know, die, or to watch somebody one day and one night just lose everything and don't have no insurance to cover and no means of getting it back.
Yeah.
Man. And then we sit here, and that's why I had to pipe down today, because the things that I was worried about, superficial, you know, maybe an outfit or a fight or, you know, a boxing show or what have you. None of that matters, man.
Yeah, man. We, you know, we have to first, you know, seek our humanity, you know, and stop, you know, stop all of this, you know, bickering among ourselves. And you know, as I was saying earlier, talking to somebody on Facebook, you know, this after going through a week of all the turmoil with racism, this should actually be a rallying point for everybody to unite. Rather than, you know, try to avoid dissension on the way things are being handled. You know, think about the humanity and don't think so much about the commercialism or the politics.
So, well, I do want to say this before I let you go. As far as racism is concerned, that's nothing new to me. I've actually lived it. If you pull up my name and my wife's name, which is Cologne Hunter, the legal times, and I believe it was 88 or 89, with us versus the hotel. I'll let you put it in. You can speak to the public. I blitzed. I went through it several times, but this particular time, you know, I just had enough of it. We ended up suing the hotel. We ended up getting a settlement. But as far as racism is concerned, I'm a realist. It exists. It has always existed for us, especially in this country. It's nothing new. That's just the reality. You know, it's just now, because we got a president who pretty much throw fuel, you know, on this particular flame. Now it's being highlighted, but it's always been around. And the bad thing about it is, most of us are walking around with our head up in the cloud, not really looking at this thing and knowing that it really exists, or don't want to admit that it exists. But it's been around, so it's not new. I've actually lived it more than one time, but the time and the legal time that you'll read about, you know, I just got fed up and I got tired. And, you know, for that one time in my life, you know, in my earlier life, I had to make a stand. I wasn't putting up with it no more. And but the crazy part about times like this flood, the times when you see the best come out of people, when the color don't matter no more, or how you look don't matter no more, or your financial status don't matter, is when you're in a dire situation like we're seeing playing out in Houston right now. When you think about 9/11, everybody came together. I remember the day after 9/11, or the day of 9/11, the evening of 9/11, I went to the Safeway to get some groceries, and it was, you know, everybody was so cordial. You know, everybody was so caring, and it was crazy how, people that would normally clutch their bags or grab their pockets, think you're going to take something from them when you get near them, were the same people that were embracing us that day. You know, they were very cordial that day. And if you look at CNN now, you're seeing just everybody helping everybody. So, you know, that gives us hope, you know, because in some of the worst times, you see, you know, the best of humanity come out.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And, you know, I shake my head and I wonder, you know, just like you said, do people have their head in the sand, or, you know, do they really think that, you know, we've made progress? We've made steps, but I don't think we've made any real progress as far as that's concerned. Especially, like you said, when we have someone that stokes the flame instead of, you know, trying to embrace liberty and the things that we as veterans have fought for. But, Gary, man, you know, let me let you go. I'll have you on here for another 35, 40 minutes, man. You know, you know how it is when we get to talking, man. So, hey, man, much love to you, brother, and look forward to having you back on as soon as we can find out about another fight or some news there in the D.C. area. Oh, by the way, I got to ask you about that new venue, man. How's that MGM?
MGM is cool, man. You know, I definitely, in fact, we were on the first two cars that they had down there. Glenda Stern and, of course, Lamont's nephew, Patrick, and this will happen while I was there. I ended up working in the corner with Michael Hunter. It's a great place. You know, I wish it was bigger. I wish the venue was bigger. As far as the seating capacity is concerned, but the people seem to love it. It's only about say maybe 4 or 5 miles, no more than 6 miles from where I live, down the river. So, you know, it's convenient. You know, in the not just the MGM, but the whole harbor is just a nice place, man. It's beautiful. So if you hadn't been, when you come here, you need to check it out, man, because it's very, very laid back, very nice.
All right, my man. Well, hey, thank you so much, man, and we look forward to having you back very soon, man. You have a great night.
Always love, brother. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. That was the lead trainer, Mr. Barry Hunter. We always enjoy having him on the show. Jabron, while I get Mr. Zemke on the line, why don't you bring everybody up to date or any news that you have out there?
Well, it seems that Mr. Joshua has a deadline, which is coming up this Sunday, September the 3rd, to make a decision. Is he going to do his mandatory with Mr. Lewis King Kong Ortiz, or he's going to vacate that belt and go in the other direction, which is Pulev? And my opinion is that he's going to go probably in the Pulev direction because that is a belt that he has got exempt in the past. They gave him a pass maybe 2 to 3 times before. So I don't think the IBF is going to give him another pass on another mandatory fight. It looking like we'll probably see Joshua in October, late October, early November, possibly against Pulev. They're still trying to decide on the venue. Will it be in the UK? And Eddie Hearn had the arena in Vegas reserved due to they was thinking they was going to get the Klitschko fight. The date is still reserved, but, you know, those dates can also change. So we should keep our eyes on that. It's really funny because Mr. Ortiz, it seemed like he's kind of in the driver's seat because he's mandatory to 2 different belts also with Mr. Deontay Wilder. Which it seems like Deontay has to make a decision himself because he has to decide between fighting Stavern, which is one of his mandatories, or fight Luis Ortiz, which I think is a more intriguing fight. We already seen Stavern fight before, but, you know, in the heavyweight division, you know, anything can happen with one punch, but I very seriously doubt that Stavern will avenge that loss against Deontay Wilder. But coming off the post of this McGregor-Mayweather event, it was a lot of so-called experts over the weekend making statements, putting up videos, and it seems that Mr. Skip Bayless is catching a lot of heat due to his comments saying that in the 9th round, the referee saved Mayweather after being hit with a body shot, which if you go back and look at the footage, the reason referee Bird stepped over there and broke it up is because Conor McGregor was leaning on Floyd Mayweather's back. If you can show me somewhere in the boxing rules that you can lean on a opponent while, you know, especially being bent over, then I would say, yeah, okay, but that's not part of boxing, laying on someone's back. So that's why Robert Byrd came over to break them up.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that, too, Jabron, because if you notice, Well, anyway, let's get our next guest in here, Steve from Stick and Move Management. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing excellent. How about you?
We're doing great, man. We are doing great.
Cool.
First of all, I don't know if you have any relatives or friends that are affected by this disaster down in the Texas, Louisiana area, but have you heard from in any of the boxing community that are down there? Have you heard any words other than what we hear on the news?
No, thank God. I don't care what's going on down there. Yeah, thank God I don't have any family or friends down there. I'm a full-blood northern boy, so thank God. You know what I mean? It's horrible things down there.
Most definitely. Let's talk about some of the good things that are going on up in your area, of course. We had Clarissa. She came through once again. I thought the little exchange that she had in the ring was very good for boxing and for the competition. What were your thoughts on Clarissa's last fight since we had
her? She made it look easy. I mean, that was like it's hard. Yeah, you've seen the fight. I mean, it was like almost like she didn't even belong in the same ring. I was kind of blown away in how easy she made it look.
Yeah, like you said, it kind of looked like they didn't belong in the same ring. However, there was another champion there that I think that Clarissa is more or less on a collision course with. I think she possibly needs maybe another tune-up fight or so. And possibly, I don't know whether or not, she's comfortable yet going up another weight class. But your thoughts on the possible matchup?
Who are you talking about exactly?
What was the girl in the ring that was in the ring with her? She's also a world champion. Clarissa told her to take her dress off and they could fight that night.
To be honest with you, I don't follow women's entirely too much. But I know who you're talking about. I can't think of her name, but yeah. I've only seen the girl fight half a time, so I really can't, you know what I mean, say too a whole lot about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like I'm a big, like I know too much.
Well, yeah, I mean, when they're headliners, which we usually see, we get into it just like a Ronda Rousey phenomenon. It was when we do see the women that show that class and watch them the rest of the time. Let's talk about your guy though. You've had a lot of success and you posted quite a few things about him on Facebook. And I'm talking about Mr. Chavez. How's things going with Cortez?
He's doing great. He's coming off a hand injury, so we'll be back. We're actually supposed to fight early this month, but he's coming off a hand injury from sparring. We'll be back at it, I think, hopefully early next month, or if not, October at the latest.
Are we planning any more shows for